Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Public Handicapper Podcast. On this week's pod, we are handicapping major stakes from Aqueduct, Tampa Bay, and Santa Anita. This is show number 54, March 6th, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Public Handicapper, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, do you have a coronavirus update from Washington?
I actually have a little cold myself, so I'm a little under the weather. And if you have a cold right now in Washington, you're treated like a blood spattered zombie staggering through an empty shopping mall, you know. So I'm going to kind of keep it on the down low here for a little bit till I'm no longer showing any symptoms of a cold. But definitely there's some hysteria going on here. I went to the Costco around Monday evening because I normally go like once a month to get some stuff. And it was a complete madhouse. They were out of water, toilet paper. Everybody was trying to find where you could get masks. It was just crazy situation. So I don't know. It's a little bit wild right now.
It's pretty mellow here. I did have a neighbor text me a picture showing that the local BJ's Warehouse Club was out of rice and beans. Rice, beans, and water.
That's an emergency. Yeah.
But plenty of everything else.
Oh, even beer. Huh? I'm surprised beer. They're not making a run on that. So
plenty of beer. They are well prepared.
So anyway, I mean, I don't want to joke about something that can be serious, but it is a little bit amusing how people tend to overreact to things like this, or at least react in kind of strange ways, because as far as I know, the coronavirus does not affect the water supply in any way whatsoever. So I don't quite get all the bottled water runs. But other than that, I guess people just want to play it safe. So.
All right. Well, we have six stakes to run over this week. We're going to do the Gotham from Aqueduct, the two last stakes at Tampa, the Florida Oaks and the Tampa Bay Derby. And then we'll do three stakes from Santa Anita, including the Kilrow Mile, the San Felipe, and the Santa Anita Handicap. So we'll get started with the Aqueduct Gotham Stakes. It's a mile on the dirt, a purse of $300,000. For three-year-olds, and this is part of Naira's cross-country pick five, in case you were wondering. What did you think here, Chris?
An interesting race, like all these three-year-old races. I don't think there's a big standout. Clearly, Mischievous Alex is the horse to beat, but you know, he's no lock in here, given that he is doing something he hasn't done before, and that is, well, I mean, he hasn't done really successfully is go a mile. He certainly looked good in his last two races sprinting at 7 furlongs. So seems like that should be within his scope. But I don't think he lays over the field, and he is spotting them 5 pounds. So, you know, with the weight and the stretch out, I think he's beatable. I'm always looking for the horses with upside. And in this race, to me, that horse is the 7-horse Sixto, who in his debut, he won sprinting for Eric Guillot, who's not really known for sending out first-time starters, you know, ready to fire. And this horse looks like a Rowery's bike hurling, and he looked like he was having a hard time keeping up early. He was being hustled pretty much from the start of the race. But even so, he grinded out the win and kind of drew off a little bit at the end. He looks to me like a horse that would much prefer going longer. So I think going a mile, he won't have to push himself quite so much early on. He can maybe settle into a nicer rhythm than he did in that debut. He also didn't have a perfect trip or anything in that race. So he was a fairly expensive yearling. I think they have high hopes for him. He's got some pretty, at least one pretty good stakes winning sibling by Pioneer of the Nile. And, you know, I think he could run a big race in here, and he's not that, doesn't have to improve that much to be in the mix. And so at a likely good price, I think he might be the value play in the race.
And noted that since his last race, Sixto ran a sizzling 5 furlong bullet, fastest that he's ever run, on February 23rd at Belmont, a 59.1, 5 furlongs, first out of 22. So definitely has a shot. I looked at that race. He worked pretty hard. That doesn't really mean anything. I mean, it's a second out, so anything can happen, any kind of improvement, and he certainly has the breeding. His mother also, even though she didn't win a stakes, she ran fast routing on an off track. So Sixto definitely under consideration. I'm going to go with a horse that won't be nearly the price, and I hope I get the 6-1, and that is Montauk Traffic, who's the number 8. He was super game in his last. He was inside among horses. He took plenty of kickback. He gamely made his own trip and moved forward through with very little encouragement. He was barely whipped, in fact, and it was his second win. And I was really impressed with the way this horse ran. I think he's something special. And you know, his first race, you can toss his first race because he dwelt at the gate and it was a sloppy track. And then he won his next race despite being on a dead rail. And then his last race was very nice, very impressive. So I think he's got upside, and his mother was a major stakes winning router. And so I think he also has the breeding. He should be able to get 2 turns, no problem, but 1 mile will definitely be in his wheelhouse. And he has a fast bullet work since his last race as well. So that's my play in the race. I don't know if I love it enough to bet a lot of money on it, but I am sort of against Mischievous Alex. I thought he really died on the gallop out in his last race. And then who's the other one that we were thinking about?
Probably Untitled is the other favorite.
Yeah, I guess we didn't talk about any other horses. So that's my pick for the race. I'll throw it back to you for a little commentary.
No, I kind of like your pick too. A similar type of horse to Sixto, a little more experience. But like you said, I think the price probably will be lower on that horse, which is why I was a little more interested in Sixto. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Montauk Traffic run well. Just I will mention just a little bit, a couple of the favorites real quickly. Untitled. It does look like there should be a hot pace in here, and he drew an outside post. I think he's more of a sprinter than a router, so I'm a little against him as the second choice behind Mischievous Alex. And War Stopper is another one who ran a real big race last time, but that was lone speed and he had a biased track in his favor. I mean, he could run well again, but I think that race looks better than it really was, so I think he'll be an underlay, although he certainly ran well. You can't fault the effort, but I just think it was a little bit inflated. So to me, all the favorites are the kind that I don't mind taking a shot against. I will mention one other horse that I like as kind of a potential monster price that could hit the trifecta, and that's the 9-horse Flapjack, who hasn't run in 6 months, but he had a really nice race on the Arlington Poly track in his last start as a 2-year-old. And that was all the way back to the beginning of September. And he should have developed quite a bit over that 7 months since that race. He was like almost an elementary school, junior high student, back then. And now he's, you know, high school or maybe even getting close to college athlete, in terms of development for horses. So he could really move forward off of that race if he's ready to fire off the layoff. He may not be, but I mean, the fact that they brought him back in this race, you know, a grade two with Derby points on the line, tells me they think, you know, they're not, seems like a place you'd be wasting a start if he wasn't ready. So maybe he pops a good race and can light the tote somewhere, you know, in the exotics and juice up those prices. So that's kind of a live long shot. Flapjack, the nine.
Based on the DRF formulator that I'm looking at right now, Flapjack is not even nominated for the Triple Crown. However, I can see why he might be here. He's working lights out at Fairgrounds. He has a bullet 47-4 February 3rd and a bullet 59-1 February 15th at Fairgrounds. So I like it. I like his chances to blow up a super. The one other horse that I want to mention as a potential super blower upper or try and super is the 5 Necker Island. He has improved every race. His last race does not look very good, but he was extremely wide the whole way and he wasn't really persevered with. It was just a ridiculously obvious prep that, you know, I don't see how they even thought they could have possibly won that race from that outside post. So I'm thinking that they were treating it as a prep. And this race, he could really improve. He's improved every race. And he's 12-1 morning line, but he might be higher than that. So I would consider putting Necker Island underneath in your try and super.
Yeah, I remember you liked him last time, and he did have a really, really wide trip. So that's an interesting horse.
Yeah, and it looks really bad, him being 11 lengths back, but Mischievous Alex was 7 lengths ahead. So he was really not far back from the other horses. I think it was a useful effort, and I'm, you know, again, not sure that I will bet the race, but if I do, I will put at least some exacta money with Montauk and Necker Island. All right, our next race is the 10th race at Tampa Bay. It's the Florida Oaks. It's a mile and 16th on turf, with a purse of $200,000 for 3-year-old fillies. It's also part of the cross country pick 5. And I'll get this one started. There is no standout in this race, and I really think anything could happen. So I was really just looking at prices and trying to figure out who has the best shot to win this thing at Big Balloons, because I think any single horse in this race can win the race. And the horse that I landed on was Galileo's Ballerina, who's a 30-1 morning line. And the number of the horse is the 7. It's the 7, Galileo's Ballerina. She's about as fast as these. She's running in her third race. Now, the third race for this horse is really kind of like the third off a layoff. Similar to third off a layoff, at least pattern-wise. And the trainer of the horse, Brett Brinkman, is a third off layoff specialist with a lifetime ROI of 284. He is also a trainer with a 259 lifetime ROI at Tampa and a 213 ROI on turf. He has, if you look in his last 5 years, it doesn't show any of the Tampa races, but I'm looking at the lifetime stats on Thoroughgraph, and if you do go and check out his stats on the last 5 years for turf, he has 3 50-1 winners. also shows the fastest work coming into this race. And I just see no reason why this horse can't blow it up. And there's one other one that I like, but before I go into that one, I'm going to pass it to you.
Wow, you will get a monster price on that horse. So that one at 30 to 1 on the morning line in this field, that's probably going to float up well above that price. So you could be sitting on a really big payoff. And like you said, there's no standout. It's pretty wide open. And then these big fields, you know, trips really make a difference. So it'll be interesting to see how things shake out. The horse I landed on in here is not a 30 to 1 morning line. It's 12 to 1 on the morning line. The 11 horse, Blame Debbie, who has a couple of really nice dirt races as a 3-year-old going long. And she's out of a mare that was sort of plus turf. And by Blame, who was quite a few good turf runners, he's pretty versatile in terms of turf and dirt. So I think she can move her dirt form to turf. She ran a clunker last time out at Tampa. I'm just going to forgive that one. And now they put her on the turf here. I'm pretty interested. I think if she can run back to her dirt races, she definitely can win in here. And the only concern I have really is the post and rider. I'm afraid she might get a wide trip. But she has good tactical speed, and there's really only two other speed horses, the 5 and the 6 in here. So if Johnny V just breaks alertly and tries to get position and doesn't try to go too fast early and park her 3 wide, pressing that the pace, if he just tucks her in behind those two, I think he can work a really good trip. So that's a big if, because he doesn't always value saving ground. But from this outside post, at least I think he'll be aggressive to get position. So I'm hoping he doesn't get parked wide. He uses the horse a little bit early, and she takes to the turf, and she can win at a nice price. That's probably my top play. There's a couple others I can mention, but I will toss it back to you, because I know you have at least one other. Maybe it was Blame Debbie, but maybe it was another one. So I'll let you talk about that, and then I'll mention another horse or two.
All right. I was certainly intrigued by Blame Debbie. Any Graham Motion horse on the turf is a factor. So certainly has a shot. I don't know if she'll be 12 to 1. Graham Motion usually gets bet pretty hard to Tampa. The one negative that I would say is the horse hasn't even been entered on turf yet. It's not like it was a turf-met horse that ran in a race that was off the turf and reined off the turf and then ran well on the dirt. And so they were like, hey, let's keep her on the dirt so that, you know, to see like what she can do here. It's like she hasn't been entered at all. And I'm not sure how much of a turf influence Invasor is. That's the Grand Dam. So at what I think would probably be under 10 to 1, I'm not that interested in Blame Debbie. There is one other horse that I do think has a shot. And if I play the cross country pick 5, I will include, absolutely, is the 9 horse, How Ironic. Now, it's interesting. Thanks to Formulator, I notice trip notes, and I only write a trip note when I notice things. And I had a trip note on this particular horse in her last race. And in her, it wasn't her last race. It was her first race, actually. And she got completely slammed at the start. And then she was way behind. This is at Indiana at 5 furlongs. So she got slammed to the start. She was way behind, and then she just completely cruised and galloped out huge. Now, that was only a 5 furlong race, but I find it interesting that she gets completely crushed at the start and then goes on to romp. And the field was pretty bad. I mean, I looked back at the horses that it ran in there, and a couple of them won their next races. One was on dirt. One was maiden claimer, 16,000. So the competition isn't very good. She ran a few races after that, including a dirt stakes race, a grade one at Keeneland, where she wasn't meant to be. So you can toss that race. But her other turf races were pretty solid. And she's had a break. And I think just given that she's got the talent, she showed some talent by overcoming that adversity in her very first race. And now she's been working at Payson. And she's, you know, if you've ever been to Payson Park, I have, because I owned a horse, or I owned like 4% of a horse back in 2003 and 2004. And we went to visit our horse there to see her work out. And the place is just so tranquil. It's so peaceful and quiet. It's really a place where horses can thrive. And she's running bullets at that track. So combined with her not being much slower than the rest of the horses and also seeming to thrive and showing the ability to overcome adversity, I think she's a horse to consider putting in your exotics.
Well, if those two horses, Galileo Ballerina and How Ironic, run 1-2, that will be a pretty nice feather in your cap and a gigantic exacta.
So, well, now I'm going to have to do an exacta just so that I can say, hey, I had it for whatever.
Yeah, that one might pay $1,000.
I'll do a $5 exacta box. I commit to doing that right now. I will make that bet tomorrow.
Oh, I'd love to see you hit that one. It is a wide open race. Those two, I think, are a little bit more speculative than some others, but I wouldn't talk anyone out of playing any horse in these races. So I'll point out a couple more price horses that are interesting to me. One is, let me start. Okay, so the first one is the four horse Maribel Mai, I guess is how you would pronounce that. Maribel Mai, she's the four horse. She had one start in the summer at Saratoga, didn't run that well. And then she had a start on the dirt as a three-year-old. And then she came back on her first try back on the turf as a three-year-old and won really impressively at Tampa. And now she comes back in here, and just off of that last race, she could win this race. She's about as fast as anything in the race has run on in a turf route. And she drew a good post and is 15-1 on the morning line. So definitely a horse you could use in here. And then right next to her in the starting gate, the five horse Correctness ran really well, had a troubled start on the dirt. And then its first start on the dirt, on the turf, it won impressively, has been rested up since then. Arnaud Delacour is a good trainer. He does well at Tampa. This is a pretty well-bred horse. Medaglia d'Oro out of a Distorted Humor mare. Could be any kind in her second try on turf. So, you know, she's 20-1 on the morning line. She has to improve a little off of that race, but certainly there's lots of room for improvement in only her second try on turf. So, you know, that's a 15-1 shot, 21 shot, both good posts. Legitimate chances to win. So you can see it's a really wide open race just based on the horses that we've talked about. It's certainly one that you'd want to spread in if you were playing horizontals and kind of demand a price in the verticals.
You might even, if you're doing the cross country pick five or the pick five or pick N at Tampa, You might want to use all in this race. I mean, it's that insane. And the 3-1 favorite, I don't think will be as low as 3-1. She was second to Abscond last year, and Abscond hasn't really done anything since then. At least I don't think so. Maybe also ran okay in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, but Juvenile Fillies Turf. So I would recommend that anybody who goes in multis with this race has to go deep.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. Both the favorites certainly have some question marks. It's a wide open race. And I don't think, like you said, there's going to be a 4-to-5 shot in this race or anything like that.
The next race on our docket is the 11th race from Tampa Bay. It's the Lamb Home South Tampa Bay Derby, 1 1/16 on dirt, purse of $400,000 for 3-year-olds. And this is also part of the cross country pick five. What were you thinking here, Chris?
Well, in this race, I think there will be two strong favorites. Chancet, who skipped the race last week because of the post draw, and Sol Volante, who won the prep for this at Tampa Bay about a month ago. Both are legit horses. So I'm not saying that they aren't good and they can't win, but I don't think either one stand out in here or lay over the field. It does look like there's a hot pace. There's quite a few horses that want to be on the lead, which is not unusual in these 3-year-old races this time of year. So I think from a pace standpoint, maybe Sol Volante has the advantage over Chancet among the two favorites. Those, I'm not going to bet either one of those to win. The two horses I like are actually coming out of a maiden race at Gulfstream that turned out to be a very fast race. And those two horses are the 9 horse Unrighteous and the 2 horse Spa City. The one I like the better of the two is Unrighteous. He lost that race, but if you watch the race, Spa City had a perfect trip stalking the leader. Unrighteous kind of got trapped on the inside on the turn, and Spa City got the jump on him. And when Unrighteous got loose, he had to chase Spa City. Couldn't quite run him down. And Irad was riding Spa City, and he did some real riding in that race. He kind of went wide on the turn and herded Unrighteous out to the middle of the track, and he was whipping right-handed and waving his whip right in front of Unrighteous's face. In fact, it looked to me like he hit Unrighteous on the nose once because the horse shied away. But
yeah, I noticed that. I noticed that in the stretch run.
I think it was intentional not to hit him, but to intimidate the horse. And the horse really didn't shy away. He kept running, and I think he could easily turn the tables. That was only his second start too. And I just think he can definitely turn the tables on that. He's had a good workout since then. You know, he's trained by Todd Pletcher. Just a lot to like there. I don't think you'll get 20-1, which is the morning line, but I do think you'll get a good price because I think they will bet the favorites. And I wouldn't be surprised if Spa City runs well also, but he loses Irad in this race. For some reason, Irad didn't stay at Gulfstream and didn't run in this race. So that's a little surprising, but maybe he has another Derby horse and he didn't want to commit to this horse beyond this race or something. I'm not sure why he's not on that Spa City, but that's a significant downgrade in riders for Spa City. So anyway, Unrighteous, I think, the kind of horse I'm always looking for, the horses that are ready to improve rather than the ones that have already established themselves. So at anything close to that morning line, I think he's kind of an easy play.
Well, out of respect for your pick and also respect for that 20-1 morning line, I would definitely want to include Unrighteous in any pick ends, especially the cross country pick five. He also has his best workout since that race, and it was a bullet work. Interestingly, they put the blinkers on, so maybe that is to get him to focus a little bit more, even though he still ran a gigantic race. I thought this race was really tough. I have a hard time going against Sol Volante. The horse he's just got a beautiful, beautiful line. He ran a great race in his last race. He had a perfect trip, and he might not get that with this bigger field, but he ran well. He galloped out big. I don't see any flaw in this horse. So if I do play the pick five, I will narrow it down and probably use Sol Volante and then maybe Unrighteous. But I wouldn't go a lot deeper than that. I'm a bit against Chancet just because he still hasn't run his two-year-old best, and I think he might just get completely overbet. And in the last race, he had a major smackdown with As Seen on TV, and I think As Seen on TV, the starch was taken out of him, and he didn't run well last week. I think that's the case. Yeah, he ran third, 8 lengths behind Ete Indien, which you could consider that to be a good race. So I have a hard time beating Sol Vallante, and maybe the way I play it is not any kind of win bet, but by singling or, you know, going skinny in the pick five with him and maybe Unrighteous. The only other negative about a horse like Unrighteous, he did run huge in his last race, and he ran, at least on the figures, he ran just as fast as Sol Vallante, but it was only his second race. And when a horse runs that fast in only their second race, it always gives me pause. So I'm a little hesitant to use him. So I may just end out singling Sol Vallante. The one horse that I will mention as a potential blow up the try and super is the 8, Let Me Know. The horse was pretty fast as a 2-year-old going 7 furlongs. Then he ran fourth in, I think it was the Iroquois at Churchill Downs, in his first race going 2 turns. And then he came back his last race and ran almost as fast as he's ever run. And it was clearly a prep. Ian Wilkes usually doesn't win off the layoff. And he brings in Chris Landeros, who's on a horrible, horrible streak. So maybe that's why you don't want to bet him to win. But I think he could blow up the super, and it's a very small chance of actually winning the race.
All right. Well, I'll kind of respond to a few things sort of in reverse order of the way you talked about them. 8, Let Me Know. I agree with you. A live long shot. He could really run well. He has to improve quite a bit. Don't know if he can improve enough to win, but he definitely should improve and could hit the board. Sol Vallante, I agree with you. He looks strong. I think looks like he could get the setup he needs, and his trainer's been red hot. So, you know, a lot to like there. Chancet, I agree. He had a tough race last time out, but he's been working lights out since then. Sometimes they work well and don't run to the works after a big effort, and that could be the case, but I don't know. It didn't look like that knocked him out just based on the workouts. And then finally, on Unrighteous, you mentioned the blinkers on. He's had a really nice workout since then, and I always like it when they make an equipment change and their last workout with that equipment change is their best ever. To me, that tells you that change of equipment might actually have a positive impact in the afternoon as well. So that, to me, is a real positive. I agree with you. A lot of times these young horses, when they run a big number early in their first or second start, I see that as a negative, partly just because they tend to get overbet the next time they go. But that's, for me, is more so when it's a sprint, and especially if they get an easy lead. When they start out their career in route races and they run a big race in a route race where they didn't get the lead and they closed, or at least, you know, finished well, I'm not nearly as concerned about that. It's more with those sprinters that run really big. And so I'm not as worried. Typically, the fact he ran that fast, to me, just says he's a fast horse. And hopefully he might have a faster race in him. But they always, you know, certainly that's a concern. I just think in this case, it's minimized a little bit by some other things. So, you know, I think we're kind of on the same page in all those. And I agree with you on Sol Vallante. I did want to mention one other long shot that could surprise in here, and that's the 11 horse King Guillermo. He has only one dirt race, but that was a sprint race in his first time starting. He had a real wide trip and that just looked like a prep. And then he's come back and run two really nice turf races, including a third place finish to Sol Vellante back when Sol Vellante was still running on the turf. And now he tries the dirt, and he's by Uncle Mo, who is really versatile as a sire. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if this horse isn't a good on dirt and doesn't move up off its last two races. And improvement off of that could put him in the mix if he can get a trip from that outside post. My guess is the pace probably won't do him any favors in here, because his rider is likely to send from that post. So that might be his undoing, but he might be the kind of horse that you look to play back next time out. But if you can somehow work a trip in here, he might light the toad up or hit the board at a big price.
Yeah, I was a little bit intrigued with King Guillermo, but I could only go so deep in this race. I will say that while you were talking about Unrighteous, I noticed that he had some bumping at the start. So with my formulator, I looked at the head-on replay of his last race, and he was bumped quite a bit. And the fact that he encountered that bumping and then still ran as well as he did is a pretty good testament as to his ability. So I'm much more inclined to now include him and maybe just go skinny with Unrighteous and Sol Vellante.
All right, that's a good race. Should be a fun one to watch.
Now we're going to switch over to Santa Anita, where they're having the Santa Anita Handicap, Big Cap Day at Santa Anita. I went to the Big Gap to the Big Cap 4 times in a row, starting in like 1989 or 1990. And it was always a great experience. And I hope to get a chance to go back there again for that day. The first stakes race that we're going to play is the 5th at Santa Anita. It's the Frank Kilroe Mile, a mile on turf with a purse of $400,000 for 4-year-olds and up. I guess it's my turn. So I'm going to mention two horses and then just bet the one that's the highest price if I bet it. But my official pod pick will be whoever's the higher price of Ohio and True Valor. The first horse is Ohio. He has a tactical edge here. There isn't that much speed in this race, and he can get a nice close stalking trip. He won the race last year. He was second, and he ended out getting up to win by a nose. He's running faster now than he ever has. There's just no reason to think that he doesn't run his race off really good spacing. And for that reason, he might get bet. He's 6-1 morning line. He might go lower than that. So I'm thinking that the horse that will be a higher price will be True Valor. But, you know, price is the final arbiter. True Valor did throw his head around at the start of his first race, his last race, and basically had a really bad first eighth of a mile going up the stretch the first time. He still ran a solid race. He ended up being game at the end, and it wasn't his best race. But if he does run his best race, I think that he can win this race. So his last four races, one of them included the Breeders' Cup Mile, and he pulled in that race and he still ran a good number, but he, you know, finished sixth or something, or maybe it was 10th. He finished pretty far back, but he's got this subtle improvement with trouble in his last two races. So I'm thinking if he's higher than 6-1, let's say he's 8-1 or 10-1, then he would be my play. But I will caveat that by saying that whichever one is higher, Ohio or True Valor.
Well, True Valor, I have some mixed memories about it. At the NHC, the race near the end of the day where I needed some winners, I was torn between True Valor and River Boyne, who's in this race as well. And I was leaning towards River Boyne, but True Valor was slightly higher priced. So I kind of needed a few extra bucks, could make a big difference near the cut line. And so I went with True Valor, and True Valor had a miserable trip. He had a horrible start. He had a horrible stretch run, and, you know, but, and he got clear and he came flying late and he won the gallop out, but River Boyne completely tripped out and won. And so, you know, it cost me like 15 or 16 really, really important points in the contest. That was one of like three straight races where I picked the wrong horse out of two horses and the other one won. I mean, literally all three of them, I had the wrong one. So I agree with you that True Valor, and this time, a very important thing on True Valor, he does get the rail, which would help, but he gets a gigantic rider change from a bad rider to probably the best turf rider for sure at Santa Anita right now in Rispoli, and he gets the rail. So I think, to me, of the local horses, he's the one to play, and I do think he'll be a decent price, although his trip was so bad, and the switch to Rispoli might attract some money, so it's a little bit hard. That 6-1 is probably a pretty good morning line on him. But, you know, I wish I had made a different choice at the NHC, or at least had a little better luck. So to me, the local horses, I'm with you. True Valor is the one I like. But to me, Got Stormy just lays over this bunch. She's faster. She gets weight. She has a good post, a good rider. She kind of ran a little bit of a clunker, but she has a sizzling work since her last. She's run well at Santa Anita. She's run well a couple times shipping west. I mean, there's just not a whole lot of negatives. And this is the one time you might get a, you know, a semi-decent price. I'm not saying she's a win bet, but to me, you can single her in here in the horizontals. And I would play, like, my bet in this race would probably be Got Stormy over True Valor, maybe a little bit with True Valor on top. But, you know, those, that looks like the best play in this race. The other horse I'm a little interested in of the local horses is Next Shares, who every once in a while pops a big race when he gets a trip. And he does get a switch, another positive rider switch to Flavian Pratt, who's, you know, and a very good rider. And I think with a good trip, you know, the last race wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. And that was without LASIK shipping to Gulfstream. And the race prior to that had some trouble. So, you know, this horse tends to find trouble, but it hasn't had the best of riders recently. So now you have a horse that's been kind of trouble prone lately, now gets switches back to a good rider, has some back numbers that could definitely, you know, at least beat all the local horses, maybe not Got Stormy if she runs her race. 10-1 on the morning line, and you might get that or more. So to me, he's the other one I would play and probably use in underneath Got Stormy and with True Valor. So those are kind of the three I'm interested in. Got Stormy, kind of a standout. She's not invincible, but she looks pretty strong. And she's not going to be 3-5 like you normally see her. And so I think she's usable. And, you know, True Valor with the rider switch, and Next Shares with the rider switch, both look real interesting with good posts.
Yeah, it's a very tough race. I'm probably not going to bet this race at all. Got Stormy, she's faster. Normally she's faster, but she wasn't faster in her last race at 1-5. So I don't know. It's a, you know, it's the kind of race where I'm probably just going to be hands off and watch it and hope one of my pod picks wins. The next race is the 8th race at Santa Anita. It's the San Felipe. It's the 1/16 on dirt for 3-year-olds with a purse of $400,000. Chris, what did you think?
Well, I mean, it seems like Baffert trains like 9 out of every 10 3-year-olds that run at Santa Anita. So it's, you always have to start with his horses, and they both look pretty good. Hard to separate the two. Authentic, the four horse, and Thousand Words, the five horse. But I'll tell you, they're not the typical Baffords this time of year. They're not super fast relative to the field. They're, you know, this is probably not even the best two horses in the barn. There's probably a couple more that are better. You know, this isn't justifying American Pharoah. So if they get bet, you know, down to 4-5 and 6-5 or 7-5, I definitely think you could beat them. And there's a horse I've liked for quite a while. In here, Honor AP. The horse had just a horrendous trip in its debut and still almost won for a trainer, John Shiris, who doesn't typically get two-year-olds to win sprint races in August. And so that caught my attention immediately. I like the breeding by Honor Code. And out of a nice mare in Hollywood Story, who's a champion. In fact, I think Honor Code was probably an Eclipse Award winner. I might be wrong about that. But, you know, this horse has got really good breeding top and bottom. And the second start was really impressive. And then, you know, I thought this is, you know, a horse that be one to consider for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Didn't run, just pretty much disappeared. And I wondered what happened. You know, did he get hurt, or, you know, when are we going to see Honor AP again? He finally resurfaces here in this race. Shiris is really good off layoffs with three-year-olds. You know, off of this kind of a layoff, he sends them out ready. This horse should have developed from his first two starts. Just to me, his recent workouts have been really good. Just a lot to like about this horse. He might need a race. He might want even a little longer. Although he, you know, certainly hasn't had any trouble at the shorter distances so far. He's probably going to be the third choice, and he may take some money. So I'm not saying he's a great bet, but of the horses in the race, to me, he's definitely the way I would go. Honor AP, the two horse, he's 4-1 in the morning line. That seems like a fair value on him.
Yeah, this race is another no bet race for me. So it's probably a good thing that I'm not going to be playing in the Ultimate Betting Challenge, which covers Gulfstream and Santa Anita. It's a $3,000 buy-in. So I'm probably not going to be forced to play this race. I'd say, you know, gun to my head, I think Thousand Words would probably win the race, but he is high weight. He's carrying, you know, 124. His last race wasn't that great, but he's done nothing wrong. He will be bet. That's why it's not worth betting him. I'll just mention a horse that I think can blow up the try in the super, and that would be Wrecking Crew. He ran third in the BC Juvenile at 39-1. And I noticed that was his first race around two turns. if you toss his last race, which was at Los Al on a good track, and I didn't watch the replay, but I figure it just looks so bad that they, you know, gave up at some point in the race. If you toss that race and you look at his workouts, he's working out really well at San Luis Ray Downs. And I think that he can make some noise, but underneath, I'd have a hard time picking him to win the race. So I'm just gonna say Thousand Words is my pick with Wrecking Crew in the Exotics.
All right, yeah, Wrecking Crew. Maybe he'll do some wrecking. He does have a good workout, but boy, that last race was pretty bad.
Granted, you know, I mean, I haven't watched the replay, so you never know. Like he could have gotten stuck in the gate. He could have hit the gate. Sometimes these things aren't translated into the chart. So
yeah, I think the aggressive placement, normally that would be a positive to me. Although when people get Derby fever and they're chasing Derby points, sometimes they take chances. So that one to me is sort of a little bit iffy, but you're going to get a giant price. So it more than makes up for any uncertainty.
All right. Well, we'll move then to our last race. It's the 10th at Santa Anita, the Santa Anita Handicap. a mile and a quarter on dirt, purse of $600,000 for four-year-olds and up. My turn to get started, and I'm going to go with a horse who I think you probably also are going with, and that is Hofburg. We talked about Hofburg previous to his last race a little bit, and you said, well, it's probably a prep. And I thought, well, why are they shipping him to Fairgrounds if it's just a prep? But they were already shipping other horses to Fairgrounds. So I figured after he ran poorly in that race, I figured, okay, they just wanted to keep some of the other horses company. It was just a prep. He was a little unsettled in the gate. He was kept wide. It was like they were just prepping and they never really had an intention to try to win the race. There was no effort whatsoever made to try to keep him to save ground. So I think it was really just a useful tightener. He was fast as a three-year-old. It's no surprise that Rosario gets off to ride Gift Box because he's had huge success with Gift Box and he's the regular rider. He gets 11 pounds from Gift Box. And he was working bullets at Payson prior to the Fairgrounds race. To me, it's the classic Chris Larmy second off a layoff play with back numbers. And Bill Mott won this race with Ron the Greek. He definitely has some success in California. That's my play in the race, and I'll be interested to see if it's yours as well.
Well, you know, I agree with everything you said about Hofburg. And Bill Mott, he often, you know, really preps a horse. He's not like these modern trainers who think they have to have the horse totally cranked up for every start. He's not afraid to use a race as a prep for a bigger target. And you think about it, it's pretty smart. I mean, the competition in the West Coast isn't that great and with older horses. You get a shot at a grade one for $600,000. You know, it makes a lot of sense to ship in. So absolutely, you know, he's definitely very strong here. And I would play him at 6-1. I'm a little nervous that Hofburg tends to get bet. So that might be a little optimistic, even shipping in to California. The horse next to him, Endorsed, is an awful lot like him. I also like him quite a bit. He's never run a bad race. He had his prep, looked really good doing it. He comes in second off a layoff. Same thing, trying to steal a grade one by shipping east. A smart move. This horse didn't have the same sort of hype as Hofburg as a three-year-old, but he's never run a bad race. He's kind of been a little bit ouchy. He only had two starts as a two-year-old and three starts as a three-year-old, but they're all pretty good races. And he came back looking good as a four-year-old with a lot of upside there. And both he and Hofburg get in at the low weights, which is kind of amazing to me. And that's something we haven't talked about yet, but this is a true handicap. The racing secretary actually handicapped the favorite. He's giving 11 pounds. I don't know if the jocks can make 115, but
I think most of these jocks can do that. Yes.
So that's giant. 11 pounds in this day and age in a grade one race, you're spotting a horse like Hofburg and Endorsed 11 pounds. And he's a 7-year-old who's, you know, probably getting a little past his prime, and at the weights is not any faster than those two who have some upside. You know, to me, Gift Box is just a big play against. And Midcourt is spotting them 7 pounds, and he's never even been, you know, 10 furlongs. And he's not that fast. So to me, the two favorites are definite bets against. And Hofburg and Endorsed, I'll just be shocked if one of those two doesn't win. And there's a really good chance that they can fill out the exotics, exacta. If, you know, that could be a 7-8 exacta. Between the two, I think Endorsed may end up being a better price, but I could be wrong there. Both look like good value at the morning line. So, you know, here's two horses that have just the classic Chris has to bet pattern, and they're getting weight and they're an overlay, probably, if the morning line holds up at all, against two very beatable favorites that are picking up, you know, giving up serious weight. You know, this is, looks like a pretty good betting race. And then the third horse, we, I just want to mention one other horse is Combatant, who I sort of liked last time in the switch in Barnes. Saddler's done pretty well picking up these horses as 4 and 5 year olds and getting them to run well in their, once they join his barn, they tend to get better every start. He's got one start under his belt, which was pretty good, I thought. I think there's still some room for improvement in him. And he's the one that could be a big price. So, you know, toss those two favorites, you know, Key, Hoffberg, and Endorsed. I mean, throw in Combatant and you might make some money in this race. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I'm going to concur with you on Combatant. He really woke up and ran his fastest fig in his last race, which was in California. His first race in California, or at least first race, recent race in California. I think he can blow up the Tri or the Super. I have a hard time thinking that he's going to win the race, but I think he can definitely get in underneath. I'm going to stick with Hoffberg. And the only thing I'm going to say about Endorsed, I have one comment, and I haven't watched the race since it's handicapping this race, but having watched the replay earlier, I put in a trip note that said died on the gallop out. Now, it has been plenty of time since that last race, and if he was coming back on 3 weeks rest, that would be an actionable item to go against him. But given that the trainer also really doesn't have very much success in California and is retiring from training, I kind of have a hard time having him here. But if he goes off at higher than 6-1, then he could get interesting.
Just one comment though. That was off the layoff. He had a little trouble and he was really wide. So the fact that maybe he was a little tired after that race, to me, I wouldn't count that as a negative at all. Plus that was the fastest race he'd ever run, and which is what kind of what you want, off that layoff. So I don't know. I wouldn't be concerned about that. Plus he's really bred to get the mile and a quarter. He's out of a nice mare, Dance Card, who's by Tappet. Medaglia d'Oro's a sire. So to me, there's a lot to like. And he's never run a bad race and never reacted to a race before. So I think he's very strong in here. I think it's he and Hoffberg that are going to be battling it out down the stretch. I think that's a good exact to play. And like you said, I don't know if Combatant could win, but I think he could fill out that Tri. And if you beat Giftbox in midcourt, you'll get some value in here.
Yeah, I'd say there's a really good chance that I'm going to bet this race, and I will probably key in on Hoffberg. He's definitely worth a good win bet at 5-1 or higher. So I'm going to play him, and I will use Combatant underneath. I might do, you know, some really simple super try and super keys with Hoffberg on top of Combatant and maybe a couple other horses. I don't think there's anything wrong with Giftbox, and I think he'll probably actually still be in the money. But the handicap, the racing secretary did a great job. When you create a handicap, it was described to me a long time ago. The handicapper who's assigning the weights, the goal is to try to get all the horses to dead heat. If you can handicap a race and 10 horses all run like really within a nose of each other, then you've done your job perfectly. And I think in this case, he did do his job perfectly. I don't hate the horse. I'm not like hell bent against him. Like, I think he could still be in the Tri, but, I'm just going to say that Hoffberg is a pretty strong play for me, and I will be betting him.
Yeah, just one thing I'll say about the weights. Most players they discount the impact weight has. So they, you know, typically they're not going to bet on him as if he's giving 11 pounds to a horse like Hoffberg. Most people won't factor that in as a significant part of their analysis. So I think he'll be an underlay just based on the weights. It's the main thing I have against him. Also, he is a 7-year-old, and he's going to start losing a step as a dirt horse, as a 7-year-old. He could still hang together, but he may not get back to his best races ever again. His layoff race, his race comeback race was good, but it's actually the slowest race he's run in 2 years. So, you know, he might have lost a step, and he's given all that weight. To me, he's just going to be a big underlay. That's all. He's a nice horse.
Yeah, I mean, you're right that players don't think about weight, but when it comes to this particular race, now you know, putting it into that perspective actually makes me want to bet this race even more, because Hoffberg getting 11 pounds from Giftbox, it's a great opportunity. I still don't know if I want to toss Giftbox from Tries and Supers, but you're right, he's a complete underlay. So try to make money by working around him.
Yeah, that's the way to make the money in here, is if you can beat him. And maybe he'll double cross you and I and run a monster race in here, but I don't think that's the way you bet it.
All right. Any other plays? We've looked at a few tracks. We didn't hit every stakes race in every track. I didn't have time to look at any other races. I really wanted to do justice to these races. Did you have any other plays that you thought were interesting?
Not really yet. I haven't had a chance to look at enough. So if I spot anything I really like, I might send out a tweet. So follow us on Twitter. I'm at Derby1592 and Scott is at CarsoniPH. So we'll be tweeting out during the day, probably on Saturday. And we'd love to have you follow along and join in the conversation.
All right. Fantastic. That will conclude show number 54 of the PH Pod. Good luck this weekend, and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Cheers.
Giddy up.